96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is, I lost the day of the week, Thursday, August 8th, until after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. We have some special guests in studio today. We have the principal and one of the parent teachers association persons from Bay West, which is located on Bay Street, actually. We have Miss Melinda Sherman, who's the principal of the school. And, of course, who's no stranger to radio, so we're always excited to have him in studio. And we're talking about the innovative ways and mechanisms that the school has employed to empower their students, right? We're going to go and learn more about the school in general, right, where it's located, the specialty of the school, because the school has a specialty. It's a small school. It's a small school, and it's sought out for a particular reason. So I want to interrogate that and then to go into detail about these mechanisms that you have employed. The other day, they had a big entrepreneur type concept with all the children had opened their own business, bank account type thing. And I want to go in detail in terms of how successful was that? How did the children benefit from that? I see the parents were intimately involved, right? It was like it's like a partnership, but the children were in the foreground managing their own business concept. And I want to know, why was that decided to be done? What other programs have you planned to initiate? And talk about that success. But without further ado, right, I want to introduce Miss Melinda Sherman, principal of Bay West Primary School. What is it now? Because I remember y'all had two different names. Because, I mean, y'all was located at a one position place before. Then y'all moved to West Bay Street proper.
Correct.
Right? And then the name, which was the same, but slightly changed. Mm-hmm. So you could go over that narrative with the name, the origins, and the history of the school, and what the school is for, and who your target audience is. Go ahead.
Sure. So we were Bayview, and we were located on Augusta Street North, next to St. Francis Church. And in 2020, we opened our West Bay Street location, and that is what we now know as Bay West Learning Center. We are a primary school. We go from grades 1 to 6. Recently, we've expanded, and, you know, it's been a wonderful experience since we've opened. We are a small school, and we want to keep it that way. You know, that's how we've been able to do what we've always been known to do since we were Bayview Academy, which is provide each child with a one-on-one educational experience. Yeah?
So you said you recently expanded. Is it an expansion of campus? Is it an expansion
of grade levels?
Of offerings?
Correct, grade levels.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what's the maximum number of students that the school is willing? Because I appreciate the student-to-teacher ratio is very important.
Yes, it is.
What's the maximum number of students that the school is willing to take on?
Well, right now we're looking at about 45 kids. And each class should have about no more than 7 to 8 kids.
Okay.
Yeah. So right now we actually have some classes that have 5 kids.
Okay.
So I've walked through the school, mm-hmm. right? And I've seen the one-on-one activities with the teachers, mm-hmm. right? Where the teacher sits down and intimately go into detail and explaining the procedures on the steps of, this is how we do math.
Yes.
This is the steps on doing this. This is how we write a sentence.
Yes.
The basic structure. So I experienced the one-on-one with a man. My teacher never did that to me.
Oh, no. We are very hands-on. Can get away. Mm. you can't get away.
You can't call and say, go into the bathroom.
No, you're coming back.
It's in right here.
No, because if you're gone too long, we're going to come and find you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, things happen and the kid will come to school and say, well, I didn't get to do my homework last night. You know, so we'll say, okay, well, you're not going to get away. There are no zeros given out here. Sit and get it done. You know, and so.
So let's talk about it. The need for this particular type of school, and you say the size matters. That's why you keep the school size. Mm-hmm. But who is your target audience in terms of students? Like, what type of student should, like, if a parent listening now and say, man, I have a child, and I'm trying to find a primary school, the exact primary school for my child, mm-hmm. like who would be their target audience or your target audience?
Well, for starters, we target have a value for education. They consider that to be important because we don't believe in wasting time. So if you're going to sign up and you want to enroll your child, then we have to make sure that you feel like education is just as important, you know, as we see it. So if you're looking for a smaller school, you want your child to have that one-on-one educational experience. If they are, you know, not thriving in the normal school setting where there are 20 to 30 kids in a class, then yes, by all means. We are your school. If you're looking for individualized attention, yes, we are your school.
Now, what if I suspect that my child may be on the spectrum?
Mm-hmm.
We like to use the term high functioning, but that's not what I mean. What I mean is they have displayed the capacity to engage or learn basic educational skills. Is this a good fit for my child?
Well, yes, like you say, it definitely depends on where they are on the spectrum. We're not that school who we're going to tell you, okay, yeah, we can help him or we can help her, and then you don't see any progress. So the first step is to have the assessment done, mm-hmm. and that's when we determine whether or not it's within our scope, or we make recommendation for you to find another institution. Or perhaps, you know, I've even in recent years been going the extra mile to help parents to find new schools for their kids.
I put you, right? Broom and Todd, right? And I want to know, I know he's very active inside school.
He is.
Right? I want to know why he chose this particular school, because, you know, you could have chosen any school. Because you come with that Catholic system where you say, okay, this is a Catholic education. Right. But you sought out this school and say, well, I'm going to put my child here. Why did you do that?
Well, the first part was because it was in walking distance of my son's primary school. No, I'm joking. No, but seriously, in answer to your question, my son ironically came out of the special education program for Willard Patton because he was actually high functioning. He actually had developmental delay because of having fluid in his ear when he was young, and we didn't even know due to ear infections. And I say that because, you know, a lot of parents think their kids just being hard-headed and stubborn, and the reality is they really can't hear you.
Mm-hmm.
And when we found it out and we got his hearing checked, his hearing was almost flat, which meant it affected his speech development. It affected his ability, of course, to hear. It affected the way he processed things socially. And all of that was a part of what was doing. He was a very intelligent child, but these were factors that affected him. So it enabled him to have the opportunity, although he was high functioning, because he was in a class with a lot of other kids that had autism and other things, to still develop the skills that he needed. When we were transferring out of there, we were trying to figure out, okay, where would we put him that could still be able to deal with him, because he couldn't deal with a class with 30 and something kids, because he would have gotten lost in the system. I have a nephew right now that has the same issue. He's hyperactive, and they just push him to the back of the class. And I'm going to tell the joke, Ms. Sherman. At first, when we took him to the school, because he was really hyperactive, initially they were like, they don't know if he would have been a fit for it. But Ms. Sherman said, you know what, we'll take a chance on him. And I am so grateful that they did, because if you see him now, from where he was when he first came into grade one, because he just graduated grade six. He just recently got the national award, the National Newt Award for overcoming trials and triumphs.
Mm-hmm.
And a good part of that I can contribute to Bay West and the teachers at the school, because they always took the time to not just work with him, to encourage him, and of course to discipline him. Because sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, you get a little rowdy, but it wasn't in such a way that was loving. It was in a way that catered to the fact that this is a highly intelligent child. He has some social issues and things to deal with. He has fallen a little bit behind. But as they worked and graduated, I think he had about, 3.5, 3.6.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from a kid that couldn't hear, couldn't read, couldn't talk. So although the school doesn't cater to special needs kids in that level,
mm-hmm.
they still have the ability to cater to children, whether they're high functioning or kids at the end of the day that just want to do better for themselves. And that is why I picked the school.
Absolutely. In terms of the school, perspective on young people, when I hear the term hyperactive, right, I remember summer camp, being a camper and them running us up and down for 7 hours of the day. And then I think about counseling kids. Is it that we're mistaking hyperactivity with energy levels that we as parents and adults are not just not prepared to deal with. Like, is it that we're still in this in a time where no, the children need to run around the school 7 times? In fact, as a 19-year-old in boarding school, my house mistress went on a break. The sports teacher became our house mistress, and she made us get up every morning and run around the entire school compound twice. She said, "Let's just burn this energy off now," right? And so from that physical aspect, and are we mistaking sort of a curiosity, desire to learn things that are not in the syllabus? Are we sort of confusing that with hyperactivity?
You want to take that one first, Ms. Sherman?
Go ahead, I'll bring it on.
I think it's a combination of things. There are those kids that may be misdiagnosed with just being hyperactive because they're energetic. And realistically, sometimes they're bored because this generation of children have very curious minds. They're born into an age where technology is available. So they're always clicking and going. And if you're still trying to hold them to a system where, as developmental-wise, mentally, they are ahead of what you're trying to teach them, they're going to be bored. That's mm-hmm. one aspect. The other aspect of it is there are some kids, biologically, because of how their minds have been developed, do have difficulties with focusing and sitting down inside class, and they do have ADHD and different things like that. And those are the kids that have to be better identified. But a lot of times, we just throw everybody into the same boat and say that they don't listen, they're rude, without getting a proper analysis to know, is it the fact that my child has a psychological problem that needs to be looked at and be catered to differently, or does this child just need to have some time just to run up and down and burn off this energy?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. So I definitely agree with you, Mr. Todd. I do think this is why a smaller learning environment is very important. Because there are times when, and we can definitely identify those issues, having the setting as small as we do. Because we may say, okay, now I notice that we've tried it our way. We've, you know, tried to keep them busy and keep them occupied and running around and all these things and, you know, classroom etiquette and all of that, and it's not working. So we make recommendation for you to have the child assessed. But imagine having a classroom with 25 or 30 of those kids and, you know, the teacher's just saying, oh, he just doesn't say that. Yeah, but something's truly wrong, mm-hmm. you know.
Let's talk about your teacher's makeup, that is specialty, I think that's right. Give us some information on that. And, of course, I still want to talk about the parent-teacher relationship because, again, I know Todd is very active. Mm-hmm. My children go to an Anglican school where they have a strong PTA.
Okay.
Right? Where the parents WhatsApp and in groups. I want to know how active are the parents at Bayview, right? Because I see them there, Bay West. Mm-hmm. See? Bay West. Mm-hmm. And also, I want to again know the makeup of your teachers.
Okay.
What specialties they have there.
Okay. So let's start here. My parents are amazing. They all are. The relationship that we have with them is super important to the way we function as a school community. And, you know, I think it was you, Mr. Todd, you were asking about, you know, emails and how I send my emails to my parents. And I said, no. I speak with them every day. On my way here, I'm texting and I have about 10 parents, you know, who are sending me WhatsApps at a time. But I have a very great relationship with them, and so do the teachers. So WhatsApp groups, we don't have WhatsApp groups, but they do communicate via WhatsApp, as well as they're on campus every day. So we always see the parents. We either see mommy or daddy. I've been, you know, very impressed over the last maybe 2 or 3 years. I've been mm-hmm. seeing a lot more fathers than mothers, which is great. You know, the parent involvement is mm-hmm. super important. I think they understand that.
So I imagine that teachers are just as excited about an opportunity to be a part of the Bay West family as parents and students are. What are some of the criteria? Like, I'm putting together my portfolio and say, look, I may not be ready yet, but I'm going to do some professional certification courses. Uh-huh. I may take a master's degree in a particular aspect of pre-K or child education. Uh-huh. What are you looking for in a teacher?
Well, for starters, all of our teachers have bachelor degrees, mm-hmm. As well as the main thing for me is the ability to love our children. So we love first, we teach second. And I remember when I first started at Bayview with Miss Amrista, she told me not to call her name on the show this morning, but there goes the first. So I remember when I started teaching there many years ago, I think it would be about, 12 or 13 years ago. I remember her saying that, you know, our kids are different. You know, like they're not the ones you have to yell at and scream at. And I realized very quickly that it was because of the culture, right, of the school, the way the teachers spoke to the kids and, you know, nurtured them. And then they taught. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was so important when we opened Bay West, because now I got to see firsthand, being in charge, that this is the way you get it to function. This is what you have to do. You have to lead by example. All of our teachers have really, really great relationships with their kids. And they have great relationships with each other. So I think the children watch the way we as adults and as colleagues, you know, kind of function and float around. It's so bad that most days I look at them and I say, hey, guys, it's 6:30. What time are you going home? Mm-hmm. You know, like they don't want to leave. So the work, the environment itself is one that everybody enjoys being a part of.
Bay West is your children have the has to eventually matriculate to a different school.
Correct.
Right? What do you do to prepare them? Because I would have anxiety leaving a comfortable space where I know my teachers care about my child. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to put them into that big pond, right? And say, how will they survive? What does Bay West do to prepare children in the sixth grade to go to grade 7?
Honestly, she doesn't let them go.
They're still a part of the family? Okay, but go ahead.
He's right. I never let them go. So even, you know, when they're done with university, my office is full all summer, right? Because they when they're on their breaks, they come and they tell me, Ms. Sherman, guess what's happening? You know, so we never let them go. But they are prepared for the real world. And we start that, and you were a part of it. Even when we do our entrepreneurship activities, we prepare them in being able to speak, in being able to socialize and create and maintain relationships with others.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited about this entrepreneurial program and project because, first of all, I don't need any more competition in the market. Why are you empowering these little children? They're already cute. They articulate. I mean, you say they're little gorgeous little salesmen, and now I have to compete in the market against them?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about the entrepreneurial program.
Well, guess what? They mean business. So every year, in January of each year, we have Career Month, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, one day out of that month, each kid comes to school and they present, you know, oh, I want to be a police officer. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor. And, you know, it's all about the costumes. And they come dressed in those things and they present, you know, using the chart paper and displays and whatever else. And at the end of that all, we say to them, no one said they wanted to be a business owner. Okay, so you can be a doctor, but how about having your own practice, right? You can be I had a little girl. She said, well, I want to wash cars. I like washing cars. And everyone thought that was so funny. And she says, you know what? I'm not just going to wash cars. I want to be the owner of the car wash. Mm-hmm. But what she did was she started mixing these formulas and things together. And she's like, well, I'm going to sell this product. This is for the tires. I'm going to sell this product. This is for the inside. And she started talking about, you know, things that she can put together to make the car smell good inside. So here we have somebody who's taking a basic idea or a basic job, and she's turning that into a business, selling products, creating products, and selling them.
And all this is primary school.
Correct.
Interesting. Okay. Correct. I want to talk about PTA. Is there a PTA? But I know the school is small, so you are intimately involved with the parents and the students.
Correct.
But is there a PTA president who work parallel and with the principal or the school? How does that go about?
There's not a PTA. So what happens is whenever we have events, my parents know what's coming up based on what they see on the calendar. And guess what? They all call me, or most of them call me, and they say, okay, well, I know that you get your tents from here. Here's what I'm going to do. I know that you're going to purchase this. We need this. Here's what I'm going to donate. We have the cocktail party coming up in October. Then there's a parent who always donates the glasses for the mm-hmm. drinks.
You may want to tell them a little bit about the cocktail party.
Oh, I don't know if we should tell them about the cocktail party.
I love cocktail parties.
So it's an annual thing that the school does with all of the parents, the old parents and the new parents, that give all of the parents an opportunity, first of all, teachers of the school.
And each other
mm-hmm. at the same time, so that we're familiar with each other. So a lot of times, like she says, even though we don't have a PTA, the parents work hand in hand with Ms. Sherman, the teachers, and each other. So like how we had Enterprise, you know, I keep mixing up Enterprise and Enterprise.
Don't worry, I call it Bayview and Bay West. So just go ahead. You go.
So, you know, it was so funny at the event that it matriculated down to our kids, because the children were even supporting themselves because of how the parents worked together. So we would help set up each other's stalls, make sure the kids have what they want, share and advertise what was going on during the event. And then during the event, I had my son was getting promoted by the DJ who said he was his grand rival, but he was still hyping up his actual store. My son himself was going around to some of the other kids.
Hold on, your son is a DJ too?
No. He was selling hot dogs and drinks along with candies. And Mr. Neary had the opportunity to have, how was the hot dog?
It was a good hot dog.
I'd like to thank you for, he had the opportunity to bring me with him, but he didn't. I like that.
Oh, okay, my good goodness. Stuff.
All right.
So there's, you can't the bus, miss the next one
there's
then.
There's the tires. There but it's just that the way, the environment where everybody learned to support and work with mm-hmm. each other at the end of the day. And it's important that even though there's not an official PTA, the parents, the teachers, and even the kids work together to support each other mm-hmm. to make sure that the school stays functioning the way it needs to.
Sports and extracurricular activities, clubs, field trips. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that.
Okay. So clubs, we have a lot of them that we... Oh, I'm so excited about them.
You start first. I'll get into it.
Oh, okay. So we've been doing a lot of planning this summer. So I've not taken a break yet. I've not had vacation yet.
Because I was about to say, it felt like school in here for about 10 seconds before the show started.
Yeah, I'm not taking a break yet. But so we have a lot of exciting things. So this year, we're going to be launching a drama club. And, you know, Mr. Todd does playwriting and directing mm-hmm. and all of that. And so we are very happy to have him on our team spearheading that drama club for us. And our clubs begin on September 19th. So in addition to that, we will have...
When does school open?
School opens September 2nd, Tuesday, September 2nd.
All right.
And so in addition to the drama club, we'll have a chess club. Chess is very important. It teaches discipline and, you know, mm-hmm. those important...
Soft skills, like critical thinking,
correct.
Spatial awareness. Yeah,
exactly. We'll also have a writing club, and the writing and drama club will go hand in hand,
mm-hmm.
As well as Mandarin. So Mandarin will be, last year we had Mandarin as a part of the curriculum, but this year we will be offering that mm-hmm. as a club itself. So that'll be on Saturdays.
But just a, Nuri, did you see the flyer for the quote-unquote Chinese summer camp? It's like an immersion camp where they immerse the kids in Chinese culture.
I saw yeah. Another public school went abroad to China this summer.
Right. Achieving students. So achieving students were gifted mm-hmm. an opportunity to travel to China as a part of a program. I saw that story as well.
Need to apply for
but
the
this is this is great, right? Because Mandarin and Cantonese are as equally, I think, important as English now in terms of global engagement.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Awesome. I want to know more about homeschool versus Bay West.
Hold on.
And who should you choose? What should you choose? And contrast, because a number of Bahamian stands in mind. I homeschool my child, and this is the reason why I'm homeschooling my child. And then you come and contrast and say, but we're a small school.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I want to know, is this an alternative or homeschool is an option?
Or what are the elements, right, that the homeschooler values? What elements can they find in the Bay West community?
I think there are some similarities. However, you know, being that we are bigger, we have a bigger school population, you know, than you would find at a homeschool. I think homeschools, I know someone who does one, she has about 10 kids total. But, you know, for if you're considering the social aspect, mm-hmm. As well as at some point, like you mentioned earlier, they have to leave and matriculate into different school settings. So it's all about, I think, having them being prepared academically and socially. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, if you're looking for a smaller, safe environment, nothing against homeschools, but I also think that, you know, we are quite similar. We offered some of the same.
The social aspect. Can homeschoolers organize like a field trip to Bay West or participate in sporting activity?
Of course.
Things like that?
Yeah, of course. We've had, I think, two schools express interest in doing that last year.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens this year, but we're open to that.
Awesome.
I want to know about, I was going to say social media space. How can I get access to your school to know, like Aaron hinted, orientation? I want to come and do a walkthrough to see if the school is a good fit for me and my child.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. How does that go about?
So what you would do is schedule that walkthrough. We have open house ongoing. It's all year long. So you can come in at any time. Once you give me a heads up and let me know that this is what you want to do, we'll be able to walk through and see the kids in action, see the teachers in action. You'll, you know, get a feel for the space.
And if you're looking to follow the school, you can follow us on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. We've recently put up a LinkedIn page as well. Mm-hmm. YouTube, Instagram, and all of them are BayWest242. So for instance.
And Todd, your child just finished grade 6.
Yes.
So that means he's matriculating.
Well, yes and no.
Okay, then explain that. Okay. Well, and explain that whole concept because some, like I said, I would be uneasy having my child leave in a comfortable environment where there are all of these amenities, right? Mm-hmm. And to go to a bigger school and now I left her by herself. Right? So I want to know, how is your child? How is this working out with your child?
For him, he actually has another year because what they're doing is a special course with him that's going to be actually for grade 7 and possibly up to grade 8 with the school where Ms. Sherman Lewis is still going to be teaching him. And that's in preparation for us to get him into another school that we're actually looking at for him. Because the reality of it is, I don't see him being in a bigger school because of being with Bay. And if I can say it, we actually moved him from Bay West for a short period, not because of the school itself, but because we wanted to try him in a different environment because of that same reason, to see how he would matriculate from where he was to another school. And we had to bring him right back because the environment just, they weren't understanding of the child that he was and what to some other kid would be socially understandable at your level. If you don't understand what my child went through or who he is, whether he had the developmental delay or not, you would think that some of the things he did was just rude and stuff. When the truth be told, he simply didn't know. So we had to bring him back to an environment, at least for him, that was easy for him not just to matriculate, but he was getting the socialization along with the education he needed and the preparation for him to get prepared to go to another school that would be still a small environment. Now, there was something I did want to touch on. It was about the drama club.
Okay.
Because what we're looking to do this year is an incorporation of things. See, because a lot of times when persons hear about stage plays and drama, they only think about what they see on stage. What we're looking at this year is going to be an integration of what you saw for Enterprise Day, where they're going to have an opportunity to learn about writing plays. They're going to have an opportunity to learn about acting. They're going to have an opportunity to learn about the back end part of it, which is the marketing, the financial aspect of it, because these are things that we're going to integrate for all of the kids to have a chance to write their stories, put them together, and even market to, say, have a little show that they can put on. And we're even looking at integrating some AI and technology into it because that's where we're actually heading. Even though a lot of persons think that AI is coming to take over, it's just a tool like any other tool. And it's just how you use it. So because the world is moving in that direction, the drama club gives an opportunity to offer all of these things to the children to integrate their writing, to integrate their speaking, and develop their confidence in speaking. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people don't realize it takes confidence to actually stand on stage and produce. But it also gives you an opportunity to develop as a child, as a speaker, and starting this at a young age with them will help them when they go into high school, whether they want to go into business. It'll help them regardless of what area they go in at the end of the day. Mm-hmm.
And I imagine creativity and imagination are key,
well, of course,
to focus on in that space. Yes. I can't wait to see a bunch of, I want to see the content. I want, am I the drama? Are you the drama? The drama is me. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be awesome.
This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We're going to take a short break. We're speaking with Principal Melinda Sherman and, of course, parent rep Brumont Todd. And they're talking about their school is located on West Bay Street. Bay, where I describe where it is exactly. So people should drive past and say, okay, that's the school there, which is on the radio. But we'll be right back after this brief message.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Planning a trip to the beautiful Bahamas? Look no further than Hertz Car Rental. With convenient locations in Nassau and Freeport, Grand Bahama, we are here to get you there. Whether you're exploring the vibrant streets and sights of Nassau or soaking up the sun in Freeport, Hertz has the perfect ride for your adventure. Book at our Freeport location at 352-3297 or Nassau location at 377-8684 or visit our website at HertzBahamas.com. All major credit cards accepted. Hertz Car Rental. Your journey starts with us.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, this is C.A. Nuri, and Aaron Green is joining me. We're talking to Bay West Learning Center representative, which is located.
Be clear, I ain't going to school with you.
You ain't going to school with me?
I finished with.
You finished school?
I'm not finished with learning.
Yeah?
But I finished with school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can go to school. This school's a great school. I went to school in general.
Oh, I think it's
Bay
a good school. I
West Learning Center, West Bay Street. West Bay Street Long.
It's long.
So when you say West Bay Street, where is the school exactly?
Okay, so there's Saunders Beach and there's, you know, the playground, right? So if you're standing there and you look across the street to your right, then you'll see Bay West. It's a big white building with colorful columns. There's a big sign that says Bay West right on the wall. So traveling west on West Bay Street, you're going to come around the roundabout by Shell gas station and KFC and all of those. Continue heading west, and the building is the first white building on your left.
On the left, okay.
Correct.
Okay.
First. Big white building.
So.
White and colorful columns.
So listen, do the children yearn for the beach? Like, do you have that issue? Like, we're going to the beach today. Do you do any beach activity and incorporate that general space into your school activities?
Now, we don't take the children into the water, but we have taken them to the beach to have lunch.
Okay, that's nice.
Yes. So we've been, you know, we would get our KFC from across the street and walk over and have lunch to the beach.
I didn't know. I like in school more and more now.
I have this question from a texter. Says, CA, how does the school handle discipline and behavioral issues? Do they believe in timeout or corporal punishment?
Okay, that's a great question. And, you know, I've had someone ask me that question yesterday, a teacher I was talking with. And we don't, believe this or not, we don't have to spank any child. So usually if they're told, you're going to go to Ms. Sherman's office, that is enough. They will scream that building to the ground. But only because they know that coming to me means, okay, you've done something that's disappointing. That's enough for them to change my behavior. When they get to my office, if the teacher, you know, doesn't, you know, feel sorry for them and say, okay, well, that means you need to change your behavior. But if they happen to come to my office, then I hold them accountable for what they did. Mm-hmm. And I make sure that they understand that, you know, in real life, there are consequences for your actions. So usually a good talking to does it. We don't have, you know, those issues moving forward.
I think in the right environment, in a properly curated environment, shame is a great teaching
tool.
Yes,
it is.
And it helps to moderate behavior.
Yes, it is.
On another note, in-house or at-home suspension?
I have never had to suspend a child at Bay West, but...
That's glowing remarks.
I remember when we were at Bayview, we did have... one child, but that kid did an in-house suspension. I think it was about a day or two.
Okay.
And the behavior shift was remarkable, you know. So again, this takes me back to what I said earlier, which is that we have to love them first and then teach. And I think because they know, and usually they don't do anything crazy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing crazy.
I imagine a testament or foundational philosophy for the school is that the environment will greatly contribute to the educational experience and developmental experience.
Correct. Even with our school motto, it's become, belong, feels, you know, safe and as if they are included and a part of the environment and loved and respected more so.
I think what also contributes to it for the fact that the classes are small, they're not big classes. It isn't as if you can get lost in the class and be a student that acts up, doesn't say anything. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, even if the teachers don't do it, your classmates will usually be the ones that come to you and ask you what's going on.
Oh, yeah. My kids are... we took them to IMAX, I think sometime in June, around the last day of school. And I kept leaning over to one of my teachers and I said, I love my kids. I love my kids. And she goes, what's wrong with you? And I looked around at some of the other kids from different schools and I'm ready to pull my hair out. And my kids are looking at them like, where are you guys from? You know? Mm-hmm. So it's funny because they know even when you're around people who are misbehaving, you don't do the same.
I want to talk curriculum and I want to talk about what level did your school start and finish? I know it's a primary school. Mm-hmm. It finishes at grade 6.
Correct.
Right? But does it start, I know a number of public schools starts at kindergarten, then go in grade 1?
Yes.
Do you start at grade 1 proper, or do you have a kindergarten introductory, then go in grade 1?
Kindergarten introductory, and then grade 1.
No, say it again so I can understand. You have a...
So that would be K-5,
mm-hmm.
then grade 1. So you're okay. 6 at grade 1.
Okay.
Yes.
And then you finish at grade 6.
Correct.
Then my next question is GLAAD.
Yes.
GLAAD is taking that grade 3 and grade 6.
And grade 6.
Does your school offer GLAAD, the grade level assessment test, so I can know where my child is and compare it to the rest of the people there?
Yes.
And explain that process to.
Yes. So we have been taking the GLAAD exams forever, and usually our kids perform exceptionally well. And so we've not had any issues in that area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead. You said look at me.
Well, no. I know you wanted to go on to curriculum.
Yes. What system do you use? That back? Because
no, we don't use the backup.
What do you use?
Our curriculum is integrated. And like Mr. Todd said earlier, our class sizes are small. We know that no two children learn the same. So sometimes, you know, if you're delivering instruction and you realize, okay, this kid is just not getting it, then sometimes you may need to outsource. You may need to just cut this chalk and talk all together and give this kid a more hands-on approach.
Mm-hmm.
So our curriculum is integrated in that we use different materials. We use the Bahamian curriculum to ensure that our kids are ready for the GLAAD exams at grades 3 and 6. We also use the American curriculum, the Canadian curriculum, different materials from them. That ensures that they are covered, you know, in all mm-hmm. areas. And we are big advocates for the hands-on approach.
Mm-hmm.
And so particularly for those, like I said, kids who get bored or they're not swift writers or, you know, we have to find a way to keep them engaged.
All right. Is there a religious aspect to the parents? You go to QC, it's a Methodist school. We have the collection of Anglican schools, collection of Catholic schools, Methodist schools, now Baptist schools as well. Is there a religious aspect to the school?
There is a religious aspect. we are, you know, very much Christian-based.
Okay.
And so we have good Christian values. All of the teachers do.
Okay.
And that's what we try to instill within our kids.
All right. Good stuff. I always look in for a Christmas pageant. Do you have a Christmas pageant? Do you have an Easter pageant? Does the school commemorate these sort of days or holy days in some type of activity?
Well, our Christmas plays, you know, for the most part, we try to incorporate, you know, fun and that aspect, as well as, you know, at the end, we try to make sure that everyone understands, you know, the true meaning of Christmas.
Okay.
As well as we have assemblies every Monday, you know, okay. Traditionally.
Yeah.
Ms. Sherman is underrating herself. The Christmas production, along with Enterprise Day, is one of the biggest things that us parents look forward to.
Okay.
It was so bad that during COVID, even though we couldn't assemble together, we did a video Christmas pageant where all of the kids had to put together
their portion
of it.
That's true.
And then we basically combined that as one big video that was able to be shared with the parents. And persons loved it because every child was able to put together their portion. My son was the host, which was kind of cute because he was like this old Scrooge man, so now be the host of it. But that's how much they integrate not just the Christian values, but the fact that they know how important the different holidays are. And I think Ms. Sherman also forgot to mention that, you know, y'all also integrate technology a lot into the school, like how you use the IXL platform for some of the different classes and different things, because I'll tell you the truth.
Is that like whiteboard technology?
No, that is one of our online platforms.
Okay.
And so it's an excellent learning tool for math and language. There's science and Spanish there as well, but we focus primarily on the math and language.
And entrenching the marrying technology and education, right?
Correct.
Like tech is not just for fun. No. It's for education.
Sit down to help a child do their homework, and when you all get one question wrong, you got to go back about 20 points. So it integrates the fact that at the end of the day, you have to be paying attention to what's actually taught in class. So when you do come home to do any of the work or the homework, it's not just you playing around. You also will be learning from what you're doing from the homework, as well as the parents. I keep making a joke. People think this is serious. I get about 2 to 3 degrees and I'd be struggling with grade 4 and grade 5 homework. They think this is a game.
but is it easy, as a parent, is it easy to sit with the child using the tools that the school provides to walk them through it?
Absolutely.
Because I think that's one of parents' biggest fears. In fact, I can remember my mother now telling me, child, I don't know nothing about that math you studying, but keep studying it, right?
You want to hear something funny? So I remember this year I was teaching, right, before I became principal. And we went on to teaching, we were undercovering percentages. And I remember this parent, she called me on the phone and she said, Ms. Sherman, do you have a minute? And I go, sure. She says, you know, I really want to come in and sit with you this afternoon because I know that the child has percentages now. And I'm not sure that I understand.
Mm. And I said, she's going back to school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know something? That's a great idea. So guess what I did? That year, my class had 8 kids. I called all 8 parents and I said, hey, there's a parent coming in this afternoon. I'm going to work with them on percentages. Do you also want to come?
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? I had a full classroom of parents that afternoon and I'm teaching percentages on the board and they're like, okay, y'all ready for the next concept? Mm. So we tried our best to provide support even for parents.
It's good because I'd be running cycles around my parent when I realize you don't know what 50% of the pizza is. You don't know what 85% of the pizza is.
Yes.
I still want to in the exit strategy for kids. Again, I know your school. I even know your patron in terms of what she have done for me in my past in terms of sitting down with me when I thought I was lost and saying, okay, this is we going to pass. This is what we're going through. And I see you all continue with that concept where the teachers sit down with you and move you through the next level.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, I personally have anxiety because when I went to my big school in high school, I was lost.
Yes.
It was 140 of us in that grade 7.
Right.
And I'm thinking leaving this school would have eight children where you were the star, where you were learning on time, where the kids, where your teacher's with you, making sure you understand. You don't move until you understand and you move to the next level. What is it that you do to prepare these young children who are gifted in their own way to be prepared to be. Now I'm in the class of 40.
I'll tell you this. If your foundation is solid enough, you won't have much of an issue once you leave Bay West. And that is what we set out to do. That is our objective. That is the goal every single year. With every grade six student, we make sure that they are ready. They are equipped with the tools academically and socially to be able to leave. So if it is that there's a child who may struggle, like Mr. Todd said, we never leave. So we are your support even when you leave. So let's say there's a child who matriculated and they go to a bigger school, let's say QC, for example. And this is actually a true story. And so the parent will call and say, you know, academically they're fine, but, you know, there's this one area that, you know, we could. Then we say, okay, bring her in. And so after bring her right back to us, and then we help. And usually over time with the support, she is able to function and perform exceptionally well. Mm-hmm. But the kids who leave us, that's the goal. The goal is to make sure that they are prepared, that they are ready, that the foundation is solid and they can function in a bigger school setting.
Does Bay West have a formal relationship with any schools, but I would use the term loosely, like a feeder school? Do you have a formal relationship with any schools where those schools are like, hey, are you Bay West kid? Come and take the test.
Yeah.
Come and see if this is the fit for you, and we will facilitate parents and kids from Bay West.
Yeah, we don't have an official relationship with any school right now, but we have been in communication over the summer with a lot of preschools. And so we'll see how that works out for the next school year.
With students coming into...
Correct.
Coming into Bayview. Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you had any students that have graduated and gone to a family island school? Because we often think, oh, because they're in the family island, they're not as good as Nassau schools, but our family island schools are producing some of the country's best scholars.
I agree with you there. But no, we have not had any gone to the family islands, but we've had a lot of kids who have graduated and gone off to Canada or the U.S., okay. And they performed exceptionally well.
So in those systems. Okay.
In their systems, correct. So no, we've not, no family islands, but yes.
Okay.
Canada, we have 5 minutes left. What in the calendar? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, you remind us again when school is opening up, but what big things happening for Bay West for this year?
Registration deadline, school
stuff.
Opening,
yes.
Enterprise.
Enrollment is still open, yes. You can contact us at 698-9378. That's 698-WEST, W-E-S-T, 9378. Or you can send us an email at baywestlearning@gmail.com. So that's enrollment. We also have, yes, the big Enterprise Day coming up. Mm-hmm. And we expect to see both of you there supporting us. Mr. Todd, I know you can't wait for that also. In addition to that, we have the clubs that are starting, the drama club, the chess club, the cooking club, Mandarin. We also have, we'll be producing a book this year.
Yes, that's going to be excellent. So one of the projects that we're actually working on this year with the kids to also help them develop both their writing and their entrepreneurial skills is while they are working to learn their grammar and their stories, to take some of those stories from all of the kids at all of the levels and incorporate it to put together a book at the end of the year that can actually be sold for the kids, whereas mm-hmm. we teach them how to share from any of the royalties and dividends and even use it to, say, get investors, whether the investors and their parents. And it's just another way of teaching them mm-hmm. how to use what they're learning and to apply it to real-world things that they are going to face as they grow.
All right. Mascot and school song. Listen, I'm not saying that I have a children, and I'm not saying that when I have a children, I tell them, you see them sockers with the big red, train them, you trip them. But I'm saying, I want to say, Bay West, something, don't mess with them. They are. What's your mascot? Like,
believe
QC
it or not,
comments?
The kids chose their mascot. And, you know, I sat on the fence with this for a long time, but they want to be the Soldier Crabs.
I love it. The wood entrepreneurial Soldier Crabs. Say, this house don't fit no more. I need a new house. Let's go.
Correct. So they are the Bay West Soldier Crabs.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
This has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much again, Erin Green. That was Miss Sherman, right, from Bay West. What's the right name again?
Bay West Learning.
Yes, and of course, we had parent teacher rep here, Bruman Todd. Thank you very much. And Bay West Learning, give me the name again.
Bay West Learning Center.
Is located on Bay West Street, right across from Sanders Beach, right? Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for having us.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.